You know, our church is the Christian church in the world today, not only just here in America, but abroad in the world, is under attack. And it's getting worse and worse and worse. We don't see it as much here in America as we do overseas, but people are being arrested. Churches are being destroyed. People are put in prison. People are being killed. We don't see that as much here in this America that we live in, but I see an increasing persecution of the church even here in America. I see it more and more and more. And it shouldn't surprise us, because that's what the Scripture says. The Word of God, when you read it, the book says that these things will come to pass. These things will happen. And so, but, you know, I look at it with concern, and I look at it as a challenge. And Paul does this to the church in Ephesus. He says, and I'm going to read this, as a prisoner of the Lord, I've got my notes written in the New King James, but that's okay. She's got it in NIV, and my Bible's different. I've got three translations here, so I'm just going to read what she has up here this morning. It says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word, Lord. Just let us learn from it. Let us leave here this morning better than we came, Lord. Just take anything away from me this morning, Lord, that might hinder your word from being spoken. Lord, remove that from me. Purge me, Lord. Let your Holy Spirit be in control. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As I said before, you know, I see the church under attack. I see the church under attack, Christianity being under attack more and more and more. Not only when you look overseas, you hear about these things happening overseas, but now I see it more and more in America. But it's not the biggest concern here in America. You know, one thing I will say is I'm proud of this church. I'm proud to see this church work in a unified state, to see people that love each other, that work together, that may not always agree with each other, but yet work together for the good, because it's what keeps us together. And I got to say, I'm proud of that. I love my church. I love to see that. I love you guys. I really do. And I mean that with all my heart. It's not just because you guys agree with me. Okay? Because I know y'all don't. All right? Let's just be honest. All right? Some of you do and some of you don't. But yet, you love me anyway, right? Just as I love you guys. That's what it should be like. All right? Just because we have a difference in opinion sometimes doesn't mean we have a different Savior. How's that? We have the same Savior that calls us, what? He calls us to a life worthy of living. All right? What is this call? What is this life worthy of living? Or a life worth living out your calling, should I say? First of all, God wants us, wants you, wants me to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. We read that in verse 1 and 3. There are many examples around us of what it means to live a life worthy of the calling. You know, we can look at law enforcement, the police officers. You know, when we expect a police officer to live by the law that he, right, that he upholds. He's supposed to uphold the law, but yet we expect him to live that way as well, right? That's what we expect out of that. Now, I remember years ago that when, you know, I grew up, we had cattle. We worked the farm. We went and worked with cows, and we did that most of my childhood. We hauled hay. We did those things. And then I decided I wanted more than that. And so, you know, we didn't have horses then, but I got to, I liking horses, so I had horses. And then I got a job on a ranch out in Colorado. And so I moved out to Colorado and worked on this ranch. Working, we had 135 head of horses. I rode, you know, I mean, that's all I did was worked horses every day, 8 hours a day. I rode the rodeo circuit, okay, for a couple years. That wasn't really a smart thing, but I did it. Wasn't really good at it, but I did it. Most of you, a lot of you know that. So for me, I could say at that time in my life, I was a cowboy. I dressed the part. I looked the part, wore the belt buckles. I lived it. I rode the rodeo. I worked cows. I rode horses, right? So my, follow what I'm saying? What you saw of me, I wore the Stetson hat, still got it locked up in a box. Still got the big belt buckles locked up somewhere in a box. My perception, when people saw me, they saw me in a big hat, pair of boots, big buckles. I was a cowboy with the way I was looked at. All right? But was I not just dressed that way? I actually was that way at that time. Now, I could go get that box and I went up. I could wear my old Stetson hat. I can put my boots back on, wear my big fat buckle and my snap button Western shirt. And I could come and I could walk into the store or down the street and I would have a perception of being a cowboy. But at this time in my life, I am far from being a cowboy. Right? You get what I'm saying? You know, this life that we're called to live is more than just a perception. It's more than just how we dress. It's more than that. It's more than just going to church. It is a life that we live. And Paul is saying here, In the King James, he says, I beseech you. I urge you. I entreat you. I want you. I want you to live this life. Okay? Worthy of the calling. Follow me? We want that in a lot of things. You know, as Christians, there are marks of what it means to live a life worthy of the calling. He says, I therefore a prisoner of the Lord. Now, that's pretty tough, isn't it? He's a prisoner. Now, most of us don't think of us being prisoners because we're saved. You belong to Christ? Do you consider yourself a prisoner to Christ? Paul did. He knew what it meant to be a prisoner. He was in jail many times. He knew what that word meant. He knew the definition of that, but he says, I'm a prisoner to Christ. I'm in chains to Him. He says, I entreat you to walk in a manner worthy. Walk in this manner worthy of the calling in which you have been called. With all humility and gentleness and patience, showing forbearance, endure. I like that. To one another. That's what I was talking about. It's not always easy to get along with just everybody. Sometimes there's endurance in that. Anybody that's been married for more than a few years, you understand that. There's this endurance to this love and marriage and all that, right? There's more to it than just saying the vows and being married. You have to live it. Come on now. You know, several of the fruits of spirits are mentioned here. Humility, gentleness, patience, love, and peace, all for a purpose, unity in the body of Christ. What I'm getting at is, I think the biggest problem that the churches have today in America is disunity. Disunity. It destroys churches. You have little cliques inside churches sometimes where you have this group of people and you have this group of people and they never function as one. And Christ never intended the church to work that way. He intended the churches to work as one, unified together. It says every time in the Bible that the Holy Spirit came, it was with that. Even on the day of Pentecost, it says they were in one accord. They were in one together. And they were one in spirit, and when all that happened, then the power of the Holy Spirit fell upon them. That's what God wants from His church. He wants us to be unified, to be one, to be together. And it's destroying churches in America today. Because everybody has their opinion, and we do. But everybody, they want their opinion to the point to where they would are willing to let the church fall apart instead of being unified and following what God wants them to do. And that's not easy. That's that living this life worthy of the calling. We got quiet real quick. Man, that's about me. It talks about me. I'm not preaching to just you guys. I'm preaching to myself. Because I'm in this just like you are. Just because I'm the pastor doesn't mean that I'm more special than you are. Because I'm not. You guys have your calling that God has put on your life. God has a calling that He's put on my life, and it is my job to obey what He has called me to do and live my life worthy of the calling that He put on me. Amen. Same goes for you. So God wants us to live a manner worthy of being called a Christian. He wants you to live that life. Why does God want us to be humble and gentle and patient and bearing with one another, loving, united, and peaceful? Why does He want that? Why? Think about what the opposite of that is. We've all been in a place like that before. And it's not good, is it? God wants the best for His people. First of all, it is because God has called you into unity. We read that in verse 4 and 5. There is one body and one spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling. There is one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. That's all one. We are all called to be unified together, to be one. When you get married, you become one flesh. That's what the Scripture says. You become one. Of course, you have two different opinions, right? You do. But in order to stay married for a long period of time, you need to become one. You need to become forgiving, loving. Huh? Come on now. Patient. Lee understands that word, patient with me. There's been times, huh? Loving, gentle, that's me. I'll stop there. But you get what I'm saying. Sometimes we have to be that. Sometimes we're the loving, gentle, patient one. And then sometimes they're the loving, gentle, patient one. At times, overlooking things. Come on now. I'm proud of this church for the way they are. I'm going to lose my place. The reason that it says one faith, one Lord, one baptism is because it is into one church that you are all baptized. That is into the one faith, one Christian faith, and that's what it is. We serve one Savior. We serve one Savior. That's who we all serve. And it doesn't matter whether you're Baptist, Catholic, or whoever you are. If you're a believer and you're born again, and you believe in Jesus Christ and you're born again, you're in one faith, you're unified with the whole body of Christ, and that doesn't matter what the name over the door says. Come on now. This church, you know, you like the military. We could think of the military as an example. I've got this right here written down. There is one leader. It works as a unit. It moves in one direction. It receives its order and obeys them. All those in it work well together because they have been trained to do so. Sometimes individual members of the military, you know, I remember sometimes we have differences of opinion. We don't like what's going on. But we're still called to do a great deal because they act as one. Even though they don't always want to do what they do, but they always act together as one and they're able to complete things. Does that make sense? Didn't Jesus say, "And the glory which thou hast given me, I have given to them, that they may be one just as we are one." And that's in John 17:22. God wants you to be united because there is one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all in all. You've been bought and you are united to Christ. The same God indwells in each of you, the same Holy Spirit. And differences of opinions, even when they arise, it is not just because God is telling us different things. It is because you are not listening. It is because sometimes we get stuck listening to ourselves and not to God. You know, and I say this morning, this really hit me. It's time to stop listening to ourselves and start listening, making sure that we're listening to God. And we're listening to what the Holy Spirit wants us to do. I don't want to get off track here. I want to get back on track. God wants you to be united, of one mind, of one body, of one spirit, of one faith, and of one Lord. But God simply doesn't require unity without providing the means to achieve it. That's why He gave us the gifts. And we see that in verse 11. And He gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors, and some as teachers. An apostle is a delegate. We want to know what they are. Is a delegate. He's a messenger. One who is sent forth with orders from God. A prophet is someone who is moved by the Spirit of God and who declares to men what he has received from God by inspiration. An evangelist is a bringer of good tidings. It is a name given to New Testament heralds of salvation through Christ who are not apostles. They led people to Christ. I love it. You know, we used to have many evangelists come and preach, and when you have a good revival, I can remember some of the revivals that I've been involved in that just, man, they were so powerful. So powerful. Many people come to salvation through revivals, through evangelist teachings. And then we find the pastor. And boy, I've learned a little bit about this. In definition, it's a herdsman, a shepherd. He is someone who cares for his flock. In the Near Eastern, when you think about a shepherd, it says the task of a shepherd were to watch for enemies trying to attack the sheep, to defend the sheep from attackers, to heal the wounded and the sick sheep, to find and save lost or trapped, to love them and to guide them. A teacher in the New Testament is a person who teaches concerning the things of God and the duties of men. They teach doctrine and correct people in error. They are those who are in the Christian assemblies undertake the work of teaching with the special assistance of the Holy Spirit. If you're going to be a teacher, you must seek the Holy Spirit's guidance in everything that you speak. If you're going to teach, that is a necessity to be a teacher. I believe that. I believe that is one of our requirements in the church. In the Greek, the construction of the last two, pastor and teacher, when you look at those words and you put them together, it implies that they are shared by the same person. The pastor, the teacher, and the gifting of men. Why does all this mean? It's about living out your calling is what I'm getting at. No, we read about these things. Do you really understand what they're saying? When it says some were prophets and some were teachers and some were pastors or preachers and some were... Do you understand what all that means? All this, these offices were given to the church by Jesus for a specific person to prepare you for service. What kind of service? A spiritual service, a prayer, helping, admonishing, teaching, forgiving, loving, and being an example of Christ in this world and bringing glory to God. To accomplish this, we have to both be humble and bold and gentle and determined. We have to be patient and strong and bearing with one another in love. Forgiving each other, helping each other, and considering others more important than ourselves. That's what the Scripture says. We have to be this way. That's living that life worthy of the calling that you've received. It's not always easy to live that life. But it's Paul says, I urge you to live this life this way. Why? Because it brings honor and glory to God. This unity that Paul is speaking of is a reason. In other words, the reason he's speaking this is he calls us to be mature, to grow, to grow to maturity. He wants us to act like Christians. And when we act like Christians, then this is the way we act. That's what he's saying. If you're going to be called a Christian, if you're going to say you're a Christian, then be a Christian. It's just at the time, if I was going to call myself a cowboy or call myself that, then I had to be that. If I'm going to be a pastor, then I have to be a pastor, right? I have to live that life. I have to walk that walk. I have to be that person. And it's not easy. It's not easy. But God blesses us so much when we're obedient to Him. He gives us the strength in those times when we feel like that we don't have any strength. I come up and prayed this morning with Brother Leonard over here. I told Brother Leonard, I said, man, I just don't feel good this morning. I got up, I'm just drained. I just don't feel good. But praise God, right now I feel like I'm on cloud nine. I'll probably take a nap this afternoon. Again, we have this reason, this issue of the reason, that is, the reason we are equipped and gifted in the church, as we talked about in verse 12 and 13, is so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That's why it's so important that we live that life that you're called to live. If you're called to be a teacher, then be a teacher, okay? In every way, filled with the Holy Spirit, seeking the Holy Spirit's guidance so that the church can be built up to maturity and in the fullness of Christ we can be unified. Come on now. That's what He wants from His church. I could say this over and over again. As members in one body of Christ, we are continually being built up in maturity. Maturity in humility and gentleness and bearing with one another and love and peace. And it goes on and goes on. And you know, and I thought about this, if I was to get arrested today, and some of you may have heard this before, if I was to get arrested today for being a Christian, would I have enough evidence against me to convict me? Would you? If you put yourself in there. If you were arrested today for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you of it in your life? This life that we live is more than just a persona. It's more than just a picture of something. It's a life lived. It's more than that. And that's what Paul is saying here. I'm urging you to live that life. If you're going to wear that outfit, then be what that outfit means. I mean, what's the right word there? Maturity, corporately, that's what God wants. He wants us to be a mature church. Act like it. That's what He wants us to do. Act like it. This personal, also, maturity leads to corporate maturity. Because as each one of us live out our lives and seek God's face and grow towards that maturity, then as we work together, then we become unified in maturity. We become a mature church, corporately. We could say maturity is a doctrine, in a sense. Knowing what is essential and what is not essential. Knowing what it means to be gracious to others in the body of Christ who do not agree with you in areas or opinions. Patience and love and peace should be shown to all people in the body of Christ so that we might speak the truth. That is the result of maturity. Speaking the truth in love. You know, and I want to close with this. In this world of anti-Christian bias, really, that's what we live in today. We need all the more the extra measure of maturity, of grace and of gentleness, of patience and forgiveness. Each of us need to keep our eyes on the Lord. Each of us needs to keep our eyes on one faith. Each of us need to keep seeking unity, being knit together. Each of us need to be doing our part. Reaching up, seeking God in prayer, studying and reading His Word, reaching in. We need to look to one another and find the needs that people have. And people in this church are needy. There's a lot of people that have needs in this church. And it's not up to just one person to meet those needs. It's up to the whole body of Christ to meet those needs. Sometimes people just need somebody to listen to. It's not all about financial things. Sometimes it's about that. But I'll tell you what, Wendy will tell you, Vern will tell you, sometimes it's just about listening, isn't it? Sometimes that's all we need. We need to reach out. You know, this community awaits for somebody to reach out in love. There's people out there that are searching for stuff and they can't find it in any other thing. They look in so many different directions and they're just searching for somebody to step out and share their faith with them. Plant that seed in their life so the Holy Spirit can start to grow. Reveal to them the love of God. We do that by living our life in a way worthy of the calling. People can look at you and say, hey, I know that person goes to church. Not because they told me, but I can see Jesus in them. There's something different about that person. Amen? Amen. This is a new year. This is 2020. Right? I don't know how many times I've written 2019 this week. I've had to mark it out and write it again. But this is a new year. Not only a new year for us individually, this is a new year for the church. And I know last year I can look back and see what we did last year and how the church worked last year. And I'm proud of the church. I'm just proud to say that I go to this church. Not just because I'm pastor here, but I'm proud to be a part of this body right here. Come on. How many of you are proud to be a part of the body of Christ here this morning? How many are proud of that? Amen? I'm telling you, I'm telling you, this is not about me. It's not about me, it's about us. It's about us as a body, because if it's about me, then it's not about the body. It's about me, and it can never be that way. It has to be about us working together in one accord, unified, and we have to maintain that. And that's my point this morning is we've been doing well. We've been unified. We've been getting along, but let's maintain that and let's keep it. Let's never go back to a disunified place. Let's never get away from that. Because that's what Satan wants. That's what he wants to do. He wants to destroy the church. He wants to cause disunion in the church because he knows when he does that, he doesn't have to worry about you anymore because you're all messed up. So the focus for 2020, let's just focus on just living our life worthy of the call. And if we're doing that, if you're living your life worthy of a call, then we're doing what God wants us to do. And that'll lead us to maturity. And we won't have to worry about anything else if we're living it. Amen. If you're living it, we won't have to worry about anything. We won't have to worry about numbers. We won't have to worry about if we're going to pay the bills. We won't have to worry about none of that if the body of Christ is living their life worthy of their call. So that's my challenge to you this morning. That's my challenge for you. Live your life worthy of the call. We all have that. It's a personal thing. It's an individual thing. But yet, it brings maturity and unity to the body. And that's what it means to live a life. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word, Lord. I hope that I spoke your word as you would want me to. Lord, let it be etched in our hearts, Lord, and in our minds. Let it challenge us to live this life worthy of the calling that you've given us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings upon this church. Thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Lord, let us leave here full of the Holy Spirit. And as we walk closer to you, Lord, every day, challenge us, Lord. We praise you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.